And it was more than building a city, what God was doing there. He was building a people that would be in relationship with him. And that the enemies rise up against them, that everything starts going wrong, and that's what we're going to handle today. And see, what, just as a quick review, what happened is Nehemiah was a Jewish leader in one of the most powerful countries in the world of his day. And he was what it was called the cupbearer. And sometimes we think, cupbearer, that's kind of a cheesy job. But basically, it meant that he was the head of security. And as the head of the secret service, as head of security, what he had to do was to taste the king's food and to sip the king's wine to make sure that he was doing his job well and no one had poisoned the king. So he had a comfy life that he was eating the best and drinking the best, and he had the best every day. That this guy, this position, the cupbearer, the head of security, was a trusted person, high capability, high character, someone who was very trusted. That was Nehemiah. He had it made, serving in the king's court every day. And what happens now is that his brother comes and says, they begin to talk about Jerusalem. Those who had gone back to resettle the city after being in slavery and being captives. And he says, how is it going in Jerusalem? And his brother said, hey, things aren't good. The wall's down and the gates are burned. And what we talked about last week, if you'll remember, is that basically that would be like saying there was major tragedy in Dallas. How's it going now back in Dallas? And you say there's no heat, there's no AC, there's no power, and there's no running water. That you would know that things were bad in the city. And Nehemiah says he begins to cry. He goes to the king. The king says, what can I do for you? He asks for a military escort. He asks for lumber from the king's royal forest, and he asks for a leave of absence. And this was not the wise decision for the king to make, because there's no reason that he would want a fortified city in that region, because Persia and Jerusalem were enemies. But instead, the king says, you can have whatever you want, and he sends him on his way. It's a pretty powerful story here, and it says in Nehemiah chapter 2 that Nehemiah says, the reason that I was able to do this, the reason God, the king gave me this request, was because God's hand was upon my life. How many of you in here, you want the hand of God upon your life? Man, what a powerful statement that he was saying, hey, God's hand was upon my life. And Nehemiah went back, he gave this impassioned speech to the people of Jerusalem, and they said, hey, let's build the wall. That's where we're at. So now in chapter 3, what happens is that Nehemiah begins to tell the story a little further. And he begins to tell in chapter 3 all the people who were involved in the process of building the wall. And what Nehemiah wants us to know, if you follow along, turn with me in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 3. What Nehemiah wants us to know is that this effort that was going on, this rebuilding of the wall, wasn't just for a few select people. It was for everyone. Did you capture that? Nehemiah was saying, this job is for everyone. And he says here in verse 8 of chapter 3, listen to this. Uzziah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section. So he's a goldsmith. He made jewelry. He worked with gold. And here's what it says. The next section, Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, repaired the wall next to that. And they restored the wall of Jerusalem, as far as the broad wall. So here's what you have. You have a jewelry maker who's making some fine gold, and he's working next to a perfume maker. These guys weren't skilled laborers. These guys weren't professional construction workers. He was saying, hey, these guys are going to look good, they're going to smell good, and they're going to work hard. Can you just imagine the guy, the perfume guy, he's saying, the goldsmith, you stink a little bit. He was saying this isn't just for a few select people. What God was doing in Jerusalem was for everyone in the city, because it was far more about than building a wall. It was building a people. And it goes on here. Let's go on and read verse 12. In verse 12, it says this, that Shalom, the ruler of the half district Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. So even the leaders, even the rulers were out on the wall rebuilding, and they were doing a task. They were doing what was needed of them and what was asked of them to help advance God's purpose in that region of the world. You see, the ruler, he should have been the one in the courtroom making decisions. He should have been the one at city planning. But instead, Nehemiah was showing that this was a job for everyone. And so even there was a cultural shift. If you read here, the cultural shift was that even the daughters helped. And how many of you know that when we go through transition, that lots of things begin to change? That's the whole premise of transition. And that we step into new areas and new roles. And in this situation, as in Grace Hill, the transition we're in, God is wanting to work in all of our lives through the process. And as Nehemiah went through the process, God gave him wisdom. And what he did is he said, I'm going to have you rebuild the wall by your house. So it was an area that was important to them. And so each person began to rebuild the wall that was by their house. And so it was an area that mattered, and they were going to do it right. And so what we see here is they got to work on something that was important to them near their home, but also in general, an area of need. And so when we begin to think of serving in the church, when we begin to think of what God is doing in us, that there's areas we serve in that our hearts are passionate about, and then there's areas that we take on that are areas of need, that we say, okay, I'm going to serve in an area that I'm good at and an area that I just see a need in, and I'm going to step in and make that area happen. That's what we see here with Jerusalem, as they stepped in, and it didn't always make it easy, but they worked together to make it happen. And they divvied it up to where each person said, I'm going to cover this much, and if I do my part, then they do their part, then pretty soon the wall will be rebuilt. Because God was doing more than building a wall. He was building a people committed to him. Because what happened without the wall, they were vulnerable to attack. And anything that they harvested at night was being robbed by the neighboring countries, by the neighboring groups, because they would come in while they're asleep and they would steal their crops and would steal their harvest and would steal their cattle. And they were so discouraged that they quit worshiping, they quit gathering together, and they allowed the temple to lay in ruins for 16 years. And so God was saying, hey, I'm going to use Nehemiah, I'm going to use the goldsmith, I'm going to use the leader, I'm going to use his daughters, I'm going to use the perfume maker, and we're going to rebuild this together. Because part of the reason that they didn't get it finished was because they didn't know even where to start. Now they've divvied it up, and what happens is they were carrying the load through transition. Here's what I want to say to you today, that in any transition, load has to be carried. That there has to be something where we say, this is something that needs to be done. We're going to work through this, walk through this. Any transition requires a load to be carried. And we see in Jerusalem that the people all together moved forward. And I just want to say that in Grace Hill, as we go through transition, behind this wall, as we're building an auditorium that will seat around 300, as over here will be bathrooms and will be classrooms, as we move forward, that a load has to be carried. And there has been an amazing group of volunteers that have stepped forward, and they've carried the load so that we could even be here today. And there's already load being carried so that when we move in May, the move in the auditorium, that it'll be ready for us to move in and enjoy. That the spirit of volunteerism here, and not just serving the church, but serving the Lord through the church, has been incredible. Because in any transition, there's a load that needs to be carried. Even Friday, someone came in and said, hey, I want to serve in the nursery. I want to do it. They filled out the background check, and they're going to start serving in the nursery because they said, there's a need there. I want to do it. Can I serve in the nursery? Absolutely. There's room for each one of us to find our place of what God is doing and move forward. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, turn with me to chapter 4, verse 6, and it says that they made great progress. Everyone was working together. Everyone was moving forward. Everyone was tied in. And in verse 6, it says, the people worked with all their heart. In fact, listen to this. The walls had been down for years and years and years. The city had been resettled for 18 years. In the first year, they reestablished the altar so they could worship the Lord. The second year, they laid the foundation of the temple. And then for 16 years, it laid bare. So they've been down for generations. And in 26 days, they rebuilt half the wall. That everyone was serving. Unprecedented progress. Incredible progress, because people moving forward together, they were all putting their heart into the process. They made so much progress that it made their enemies nervous, the surrounding nations. They didn't want a fortified city there. They worshiped different gods. They said, we don't know. And they didn't like it. And they began to attack them verbally. They began to threaten them. They began to threaten to kill Nehemiah and threaten to attack him. And what happened is the people got nervous and they began to say, at least when we weren't rebuilding the wall, they weren't threatening to kill us. And what happened, the external pressure came and they mocked God and they threatened to kill him. And then chapter 4, here's what happens. That Nehemiah responded to the threats the way every one of us should respond to stress and transition in our own lives. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9, it says that Nehemiah prayed. And the question I want to ask us today is that we're going through transition as we go through hard times, as we go through moments of worry, and I can guarantee you every one of us have moments of worry. How many of you had worry in the last month of your life? Raise your hands up high. Tuesday night, I thought, I'm going to get to bed early. I was in bed really early for me, asleep by 10. That's like miracle time for me. And I woke up at 2 in the morning worrying about the building. I began to stress about the timeline. I began to stress about the permits that have to get done next week. I began to stress about the finances of the remodel. I began to stress about the maintenance of the facility. And I tried to lay there. I thought, I'm just going to go back to sleep, right? How many of you have ever tried to just out-sleep the worry, right? And I tossed and I turned. And when I worry, I feel my forehead getting hot. And I was laying there and I tossed and I turned and I woke Tamara up and she rolled over and went back to sleep. And I finally thought, man, I'm laying here. I might as well get up and I'm going to go pray. So I went into the living room and I began to pray. And it's so funny that as soon as I started to pray, I felt at peace and bam, I was out on the couch. I woke up at 7 and Tamara's holding her coffee in front of me. She's fully dressed, had her prayer time and Bible time. But when I began to pray, suddenly you have peace. And the Lord begins to give you wisdom as you pray. And so Nehemiah and all those folks are going through all this worry. They're threatening to kill him. And what does he do? He prays. And so I want to ask you today, when you're going through moments of transition, when you're going through moments of worry, are you praying and asking the Lord for his wisdom and his direction? Because I promise you this, that he wants to grow you through difficult times and not break you through difficult times. He wants to give you peace because you understand that I'm going to do what I can do, but ultimately I have to trust God to do the rest. Are we praying during difficult times and during transition? And when he prayed, when Nehemiah prayed, God gave him wisdom. And God told him basically 4 things as we walk through the story just a little bit more. God said that, okay, he told the people, this is God's plan, not our plan, so we're going to trust him through this. And if they're threatening to attack us, what we're going to do is we're going to put our military on the lower walls, those sections, and the rest of us are going to hold a spear in one hand and work on the wall with the other hand. And then if you hear a trumpet blow, everyone come there because that's where the enemy's coming. And what they found is it was all a bluff, and they weren't really going to attack. And how many of you know the things we worry about seldom come about? It's just the enemy trying to give us something to distract us and discourage us and to break our will to move forward with the Lord. So we need to pray. And so they got rumors that they were going to kill Nehemiah, and it says this in Nehemiah 6:11. If you'll turn with me just a few chapters back to Nehemiah chapter 6. They're threatening to kill Nehemiah, and I love his response. He said, "But I said to them, should a man like me run away, I won't go." Let me ask us today across the room, are you that determined to do God's will? Nehemiah said, hey, they're threatening my life for us. They're threatening to kill me. I could run, I could hide, I could stop. And if I just stop and I pull back, then surely they'll back off. But he says, hey, am I a man that I should run away? I won't go. Nehemiah was committed to doing God's will. And today I want to ask you across the room, are you committed to doing God's will, to not being distracted, to where regardless of leisure pursuits or regardless of temptations in our lives or regardless of distractions or regardless of discouragements that may come our way, that we are committed to doing God's will regardless, that I will follow God no matter what comes my way, no matter the difficulty, no matter what, I will follow the Lord. Are we that committed to doing God's will? As we seek the Lord, He'll give us strength to come to that point. And here's what we need to learn, that no matter how hard life is, no matter the difficulty of what God is bringing us through, that ultimately God is in control of our lives. In fact, I want to read a verse to you. If you have it on your sheet, I want you to underline it. I want you to circle this verse. But it says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds." Not if, it says when. Saying, force, you're going to face some trials, so consider that joy, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its course so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. So part of the trial, part of the transition, and transition is hard for us because we like it to go just smooth. And part of the trials and part of the transitions, God uses those moments to grow us. God uses those moments, guys, to develop us and to mature us and to grow us in our relationship with Him. And that's exactly what happened in Nehemiah's day. That those who were in Jerusalem that went through the threats, they built the wall, they worked together, God used that transition. And when they came out on the other end, they were stronger in the Lord. They were more mature in their faith. That God used that moment to grow them. And I want to tell you this, that God, as you are a part of His congregation, He's bringing you as a part of this transition process. He is doing more than building a building. He's building us as people and growing us, and where are we growing in our walk with God? And today, here's what we learn through transition, is to be ready for difficulties. That when transition comes, be ready for difficulties, whether it's changing a habit, a spiritual attack, fatigue, financial difficulties, whether it's just you feel overwhelmed, be ready for difficulties. Because here's the thing, even good transition can be hard. My sister is building a new home. And so they've been through the process of being kind of in a small home, three kids, and they've lived there for years and years. And now they're transitioning, and they're building kind of their dream home. And so it's a beautiful situation, right? They feel like they have the stonework and the second floor, and they're so extremely happy. And that's a good transition because they're transitioning into a better living situation for them. They've saved for years and years and years and sacrificed, and now they're able to do this. But it's still a hard transition. That it's still difficult. And so when we go through transition, we can expect hard times, bumps in the roads, because oftentimes we keep wanting to go back to where we were before. And God's saying, I want you to learn a new pattern, to go a new direction, to grow in this area. And so there can be and there will be difficulties in our life. Even if you get a promotion on your job and you move up and there's financial gain and there's added position and responsibility, that it's still transition that can be difficult. Learning new computer systems, learning new areas of responsibility. And sometimes it goes then from being one who takes care of yourself to taking care of others. But we learn that there is difficulty in transition. But here's the deal, don't lose heart. How many of you know that God has a plan for your life? How many of you know that God has a plan for your life? That's more than a trite saying. I want you to know God has a plan. Here's what it says in Joshua 1:9. He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Be strong as the Lord takes you through transitions. In this season, I feel like there's going to be parallels where God is working in our lives and there's going to be difficulties, but be strong as God moves you forward. The second thing I want you to capture is this. If you're taking notes, this is your body of believers, I want you to capture this, is that in transition, we learn that we have to get ready for new roles. In the story of Nehemiah, we see that the goldsmith starts working on the wall. The perfume maker starts working on the wall. I don't know why that one makes me laugh so much. Because the guy's using his nose, you know, as smelling things, he's making perfume, and then like he's getting dust in his nose. Don't you know that agitated him? How many of you have been a part of the remodel going on here, some of the demo, tearing stuff out? Vinny, you were here as we dug out the fountain and the rocks that were here, and then all of a sudden we began to look around, and this whole lobby is just full of a haze. and you go home and just all around your face is just the dust. It just cracks me up that the perfume maker's working, building the wall. There's new roles. And sometimes it's messy and sometimes it's different, but there's new roles that God moves us to during transition. And so get ready for those new roles. Even the leader said that he went and worked on the wall. His daughters worked on the wall. Get ready, because God wants to use us in areas of need, in areas of our interest, in areas that stir our heart, in areas where there is a vacancy that you're able to step into and be a blessing there. But not only do we move into new roles, sometimes we move into deeper roles. Sometimes we move into deeper roles of what God is doing. A good friend of mine, as we went to plant the church, he had planted a church 13 years before. And they had gone through the process of the early days and the struggle, and they had been through days of growth, and they had been in 7 or 8 different buildings at that point and just moving as they outgrew spaces. And he just began to say, Michael, at this point in life, I don't feel like I'm learning new lessons. I feel like I'm learning the same lessons on a much deeper level. He goes, so I feel like that I've learned to pray, and I've learned to have this communication with the Lord. He said, but I feel like now I'm learning it on a deeper level. And I've given and I've been generous, but I feel like the Lord's teaching me to be generous on a whole nother level. That I feel like that I've trusted God and I've obeyed God, and I'm learning to obey Him on a whole new level. And so as you go through transition, you have more life experience as God is doing something in your heart. You begin to learn something on a whole nother level, on a whole deeper level. You begin to go further in your relationship with God. And here's the deal, that there's a business quote that I want to use, but it applies to us spiritually. Here's what it says by Jack Welch. Before you were a leader, success is all about growing yourself. And when you become a leader, success is all about growing others. So let's think about that on the level of, as a Christian, that there's a point where you're trying to grow yourself, but there comes a point where you begin to transition that, and the best way that you grow and you learn your lessons deeper is that you're teaching someone else and you're helping them to grow. That instead of being sponsored, you begin to sponsor. Instead of being discipled, you begin to disciple, and that you begin to pour out into someone's life as a believer and teaching them the things that you've been taught. So maybe God's going to move you into a deeper role in your life and take you further along. And then the last part is that there is blessing. I want to skip down to number 5. There's blessing in staying faithful. In James chapter 1, verse 12, it says this. It says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Write this down. It's not in your notes, but I want you to write down this phrase. Is that growth and convenience, you seldom go hand in hand. Growth and convenience seldom go hand in hand. That God for us has much more than just convenience and comfort in our life. Listen to this. David brought glory to God when he fought Goliath. How many of you know that was not convenient? If you remember the story, it says that David goes to the battleground to bring cheese and bread to his brothers, and that he hears Goliath mocking the armies of Israel. And at that time, they would oftentimes have, they were superstitious in the sense they'd have one-on-one battle, bring out the best warrior from each army, and whoever won that battle, it was indicative of who God's will was to win, and the rest of the people would be subject to the armies that won. And so Goliath comes out as this giant guy, and that has said that his rod, just the tip of his spear, was 15 pounds, not to mention the length and the weight of his rod. And when David gets there, everyone's hiding, and the king says, Solomon says, sure, you can go, but why don't you put on my armor? And David, as a young Jewish boy, was probably 5'6 or 5'5, probably 115 pounds. He wasn't a big guy facing Goliath. And King Solomon's armor just smothered him. It wasn't convenient, but he obeyed God, and it brought glory to the Lord. So for us, growth and convenience seldom go hand in hand. That when Daniel went to the lion's den, that it wasn't convenient, but it brought glory to God. And when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, the covenant was changing, that it brought glory to God, but it was not convenient for Jesus. It's blessed us, but it wasn't convenient for him. And so here's what I want to ask you as kind of a closing thought, closing question this morning. Is what is God doing in you through this transition? As we moved into a building, our own building, isn't it great? But as we go through this transition, what is God doing in you through this season of our lives as a church and your life as an individual? What is he asking for you to move into deeper, to move into a new role, to learn deeper than you've learned to this point? What is God doing in you? That's the question I want us to ponder just for a moment before we close in prayer. What is God doing in you through this transition as a body?